I knew a woman once who used to tell her kids, "Don't count on any inheritance from me. You're not getting a penny. I am spending every dollar while I'm still here, alive and kicking." And what everyone took to be a joke turned out to be painfully true. Because upon her death, she had no fortune to pass along to her heirs. In fact, she was deeply in debt, and everything she owned was sold to pay off her creditors. Her children, though, didn't miss the cash or the stocks or the real estate or the heirlooms, because she had left them another kind of legacy, a real legacy. Having lost not one but two husbands in her lifetime, and both during the time when she was pregnant, she knew how to survive. But more than that, she knew how to thrive in that mysterious juxtaposition between tragedy and unexplicable joy. She figured out how to raise two kids with very little money and to do it with a true sense of gratitude for all that they did have. And that is the legacy her children cherished. We usually consider legacy to be a wonderful gift given by past generations, something to celebrate and embrace, maybe an actual monetary gift or a gift of land. But, you know, in some cases, the legacy that has been passed down from our ancestors is not necessarily a gift that we want, right? Not necessarily gifts that we have chosen. In those cases, we can choose to receive and live out only the legacies that give life, legacies of hope and faith and love, legacies which inform and inspire and empower. Because we know that there are some legacies, some things that are passed down from generation to generation that we have no interest in passing along. And we say, it stops here. And another kind of legacy can be born. We receive and we also give. Each day we can decide what kind of legacy we're going to leave to those around us. And that's if we're awake enough. That's if we're living a conscious life. We can choose what kind of legacy we're going to live. But you know, even if you never choose, even if you never spend 1 minute thinking about legacy, you will leave a legacy. It will happen. If we are not mindful, intentional, and thoughtful about what we want to leave, then the words of our mouth, the thoughts of our minds, the actions of our hands, those will craft our legacy for us. And that is what people will remember after we're long gone. What is it that consumes most of your time in a day? What is it that consumes your passion, your energy? That is the legacy you will leave behind. And it's not just legacy bequeathed to children, but it's all the people that we come in contact with, the community members, our neighbors, our friends, and strangers as well. You know, this congregation is almost 25 years old. Now, you think maybe 25 is a little too young to be thinking about legacy, right? But actually, it is the perfect time to be thinking about one's legacy, to be asking what kind of life that you want to leave behind, because the question, what will be my legacy, is exactly the same as the question, what is the purpose of my life? Those are the same questions. What is the purpose that drives my life? What is my essential work in the world? And those are the questions that 25-year-olds are asking themselves. Now, for a congregation that's almost 25 years old, we ask ourselves the same thing. Just as today's 25-year-olds are facing the realities of the world in 2012, a shaky economy, an uncertain environmental condition, precarious geopolitical situations. In that way, the world of institutional religion is also on shaky ground. You've heard the statistics, we've talked about them over the years, and every denomination is scrambling to respond creatively to all these shifts. If you think back to the generation of World War II, those people went to church. 80% of them were part of a congregation or other religious institution. Of the baby boomers, though, only half, about 50%, are involved in any sort of religious group. And then the young adults, we're down now to 30% of them being part of any religious institution, congregation, church, synagogue. And then the youngest among us, the Cadens and Coes, the Emmas, they will not be going to church. Only 10% of them will be members of a religious institution, a religious congregation. And usually when we talk about religious institutions, we're talking about mainline Protestant denominations. And in some ways, that's good news for us because Unitarian Universalists are not very mainline, right? But we do have to keep in mind that the next generations of Williamsburg Unitarian Universalists may not want to sing the same songs that we like. They may not want to say the same prayers in the way we say them. They may not even want this building. Oh, my goodness. They may not want to do the same programs, learn the same things, or in the way that we like to learn. We have to remember that our legacy isn't about keeping the past alive, although history is very important. It's not about keeping the present intact. It's about passing on our living heritage and our living faith to the new generations. Our heritage, our legacy, isn't about buildings and systems or even words. It's about faith in the goodness of life. It's about the endless love of God. It's about inherent worth and dignity and the power of this beloved community. I hope that you take some time after today's service to not only look at all the objects and pictures on our altar, but also to take a look at our memorial book that Kit Fournier has so lovingly kept all these years. One day we're going to have a more permanent place for the memorial book. One page is dedicated to each person who's remembered out in our memorial garden. Now, not all of them were members of this congregation, but they were all friends and certainly supported what we do here. But most of them were members. And I love looking through that book. I love looking through the photos and reading the stories about those folks because they came here and worked so hard so that we could have a place. We could have this place where we could continue to spread the good news of a liberal faith, a radically inclusive place, a justice-seeking people. This is what they lived for, and this is what they left to us. You know who else is in that book? What other pages are in that book? There are blank pages for people who are sitting in this room, alive and well, and who are going to be with us for a long, long, long time. And they've put their names in that book because they are thoughtfully planning for the future. They are thinking about their legacy. We, especially on occasions like this, especially during this very mysterious holy time of year, we are keenly aware of our mortality. And we are keenly aware of the legacies that we are creating for those who come after us. And so may we choose this day to both receive gladly and to give generously, and to empower and embolden and enliven the generations to come. May it be so.